Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Canto 5, Chapter 14, Text 45. Yagnaya dharma pataye vidi nai punya. Yogaya sankhya shirase prakritisvaraya. Narayana anaya haraye nama iti udharam. Asiyan mrigatvam apiya samudhajahara. Yagnaya. Unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who enjoys the results of all great sacrifices. Dharma pataye. Unto the master or propounder of religious principles. Vidinai punaya, who gives the devotee the intelligence to follow the regulative principles expertly. Jagaya, the personification of mystic yoga. Sankhyasiyase, who taught the Sankhya philosophy. Or who gives actually knowledge of Sankhya to the people of the world. Prakriti Isvaraya, the supreme controller of this cosmic manifestation. Narayanaya, the resting place of the innumerable living entities. Nara means the living entities, and Ayana means the shelter. Haraye, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, known as Hari, Nama, respectful obeisances. Iti, thus, Uttaram, very loudly. Hasiyan, smiling. Mrigatvam api, although in the body of a deer. Ya, who? Samudayahara, chanted. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Even though in the body of a deer, Maharaj Bharat did not forget the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, when he was giving up the body of a deer, he loudly uttered the following prayer. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is sacrifice personified. He gives the results of ritualistic activity. He is a protector of religious systems, the personification of mystic yoga, the source of all knowledge, the controller of the entire creation, and the supersoul in every living entity. He is beautiful and attractive. I'm quitting this body, offering obeisances unto him. and hoping that I may perpetually engage in his transcendental loving service. Uttering this, Maharaj Bharat left his body. Purport. The entire Vedas are meant for the understanding of karma, jnana and yoga, fruitive activity, speculative knowledge and mystic yoga. Whatever way of spiritual realization we accept, the ultimate goal is Narayana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The living entities are eternally connected with him via devotional service. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Ante Narayana Smriti, the perfection of life is to remember Narayana at the time of death. Although Bharat Maharaj had to accept the body of a deer, he could remember Narayana at the end, at the time of death. Consequently, he took birth as a perfect devotee in Brahmana family. This confirms the statement of the Bhagavad Gita, 6:41, Suchinam Shmrimatam Gehe Yoga Prashto Bijayjate. One who falls from the path of self-realization takes birth in a family of Brahmanas or wealthy aristocrats. Although Maharaj Bharat appeared in the royal family, he became neglectful and took birth as a deer. Because he was very cautious within his deer body, he took birth in a Brahmana family as Jada Bharata. During his lifetime, he remained perfectly Krishna conscious and preached the gospel of Krishna consciousness directly, beginning with the instructions to Maharaj Rahugana. In this regard, the word Yogaya is very significant. The purpose of Ashtanga Yoga, as stated by Madhvacharya, is to link or connect with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The goal is not to displace the material perfections. Although in the body of a deer, Maharaj Bharat did not forget the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, when he was giving up the body of a deer, he loudly uttered the following prayer. The Supreme Personality of God is sacrificed, personified. He gives the results of ritualistic activity. He is the protector of religious systems, the personification of mystic yoga, the source of all knowledge, the controller of the entire creation, and the super soul in every living entity. He is beautiful and attractive. I am quitting his body, offering obeisances unto him, and hoping that I may perpetually engage in his transcendental loving service. Uttering this, Maharaj Bharat left his body. Om Akyanatim Randascha, Janam Janasalakya, Chakchuru Militam Yenam, Tasmai Sri Guru Venamaha. I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with a torch of knowledge. I offered my respectful obeisances unto him. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhaktivedanta Swami Dhyanam. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhaktivedanta Bhaktivedanta Swami Dhyanam. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaurapada Pichani Nivasi Swami Dhyanipasthaya Swami Dhyanam. Vanchaka Patiru Vishcha Kripa Sinu Bhiya Vishcha Patitana Pavani Bhyo Vaishnava Bhyo Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. With your blessings, Maharaj, I will confess something. I was quite nervous before coming here, and I hardly did sleep until it was time to wake up, and then I fell asleep, so I'm sorry for that. Nevertheless, with your blessings. This verse is at the end of a chapter. And the whole theme of the different chapters is that the material world is a great forest. A forest of enjoyment in which one is well tends to be directed by the senses. And that is the danger of this material conditioning, to be guided by the senses. Or, maybe better to say to me, misguided by the senses. And to start with, I brought some didactic material, if I can find it. Yes. I hope it works. What is this, Arjun? Can you see that? What is this? You can see something? What is this? Anybody has an idea what this means? Huh? Little light, yes. Yes, and how is it that outside there is light? Why is it light outside? The sun, yes. The sun is shining. Now, if I would say with my little lamp, I am enlightening the universe. Obviously, not so many people would take me serious. Probably more people would be inclined to say, no, the sun is enlightening the universe. Not your little lamp. Now, why I make this comparison or comparency is, in the same way, our mind thinks to enlighten, to give life, to give the life-giving propensity within our body. And that's the mind, the little lamp. And if we compare it to the real enlightenment, the consciousness, the spiritual spark within us, which is the real life-giving impetus, the consciousness, we can compare the consciousness with the sun and the mind with a very little lamp. And nevertheless, the mind is capable of inferiorizing this consciousness as a menial servant, saying, no, it is me who gives life to the whole body. It is me who is dominating what happens with my history, what happens in my history. And in fact, this mind is very related to the senses. And knowledge means making difference between the mind and the body at one side and the real life-giving entity, the soul, at the other side. And what Maharaj Bharat does here when he was in the body of a deer, is remembering the Lord at the end of life. And it is said, one who remembers Krishna at the end, when leaving the body, will certainly not get back into the material world, will certainly reach Krishna's eternal abode. Now the question and the point that I would like to make is that enough? Is that it? Remembering the Lord is one thing, The mood in which one remembers the Lord is another. And the third point is remembering the Lord at the end of one's life. But that could include, well, if it is important to remember the Lord at the end of one's life, what about the rest of one's life? Huh? And there is also a verse in the Bhagavad Gita that Manmanabhava Mad Bhakto Mad Jaji Mam Namaskuru, one should always remember the Lord. And that is in fact what Maharaj Bharat did. He remembered the Lord during his life, even when he was in the body of a deer. And as such, he got the opportunity to be born again as a sage. Sage also meaning not only having knowledge, but giving it to others. So let me get back to the complete picture. Bharat Maharaj, as Jada Bharata has taught Maharaj Rahugana, and the main thing he has taught is that we are not a body. And the knowledge of not being the body is essential in spiritual life, from one side. Being detached from matter is essential in spiritual life, at the other side. And they go together. Shri Shri Radha. So Maharaj Bharata gives his offers, and he first, or the Srimad Bhagavatam first makes clear to whom he gives his prayers, to whom he offers his prayers. Supreme Personality of Godhead, sacrifice personified. He gives the results of ritualistic activities. He is the protector of all religious systems. He is the personification of mystic yoga. He is the source of all knowledge. He is the controller of the entire creation. He is the super soul in every living entity. To that personality of God, he offers his obeisances. So I picked one word, which is Sankhya Shirasi, or who thought the Sankhya philosophy, which is translated as the source of knowledge. And this philosophy makes it very clear from the beginning that in fact we have nothing to do with the forest of enjoyment, that in fact we have nothing to do with the material world, that in fact we are conditioned by it, but we are independent from it. The only problem is we forgot that is the way it is. And as we forgot, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, the living entity begins material life with his mind and five knowledge-acquiring senses, and this is very analytically explained by the Sankhya philosophy. And with these senses, the living entity struggles for existence within the material world. They are compared to rogues and thieves because they take one's knowledge and place one in a network of nescience. That's what senses do. So the idea is, the more the living being gets excited and takes pleasure in exercising power and undergoing powerlessness, the more one also becomes attached to matter and the possession thereof. Now Krishna says, very simple, If you know, Janma Karma Same Divyam, if you know the quality of my birth and the quality of my activities, then you don't have to take birth again. Then you will reach my eternal abode. And what does this mean? What is the quality of Krishna's birth and what is the quality of Krishna's activities? And this is explained by Sankhya philosophy. Sankhya philosophy describes matter from two points of view. From one side, there are three modes of material nature. From the other side, there are 24 elements, being that which can be perceived by the senses themselves, the activities of perceiving with the senses. So the main thing is, matter means a performance, activity, dynamics, where on the other hand, Purusha is consciousness. Matter is active, as a matter of fact. Consciousness is not active, unless the desire is an activity. Desiring is an activity. But as long as the consciousness, by means of the mind, identifies with matter, I am acting, and by acting I am doing many things, and I am getting many results. The idea of being active and getting many results, that is called illusion, because it is the body that acts. It are the three modes of material nature that act. It is material nature itself that acts, as a matter of fact. And not the consciousness. Not I, not the one who I really am. In overcoming this illusion can by means of knowledge. But is knowledge enough? Is knowing Krishna enough? Is memorizing Krishna enough? Is remembering Krishna enough? Because then we can ask the question, okay, if it is a point of thinking of Krishna, man mano bhavo, always thinking of Krishna, performing service to him, in one way or another, Kamsa also did that. Kamsa is the one who was killed by Krishna. Kamsa is the one, in fact, who had such an influence in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So is memorizing or is remembering Krishna enough to attain liberation is one word, to get rid of this domination of the material world, to get rid of this imprisonment in the material world, is remembering Krishna enough? And then the point is no. It's also important to get detached. So, if the aim is to remember Krishna at the end of one's life, this can by different means. One can reach that goal, that aim, by different means. By complete knowledge of matter and spirit, or by perfect practice of mystic yoga, or by perfect discharge of occupational duty, dharma. But in fact, all these things are not as sufficient, and that is the main point, not as sufficient. As in the 11th canto, Uddhava says, neither Sankhya, nor yoga, nor dharma, nor the study of the Vedas, nor austerities, nor renunciation leads a person to me as thus intensive devotion. And this is in fact the highest perfection of life. Intense devotion to Krishna. And there the idea is intense devotion means without ulterior motive. The main driving force to get us at least to the platform of I should do something about it. I should do something more than I am performing now. Is the intense desire to get rid of suffering. And being conditioned by matter means suffering. So at least when we desire to get rid of suffering, we will start looking for a means to get there. How can I get rid of this suffering? And this is the idea of many religions. Not only religions, also ideals. Even I can imagine a communist or a bold atheist also likes to be happy. Also likes to get rid of misery. It is only the way we choose which might be different. And let's start with the most bold example, an atheist who says, well, I'm trying to get happy with all that I can achieve from happiness within this material world because there is nothing else. And probably such a person will look for happiness in big cars and journeys to the other side of the world and flights here and there to get on holiday and see the world and probably also sex and drugs and rock and roll and whatever is available to get some kind of idea of pleasure. And there is a ticket to that because it's called karma. It costs more suffering. Nevertheless, the desire is there. I want to become happy. I want to get rid of misery. If he remains in that vicious circle, now good luck, he might remain in that vicious circle for long, long time, birth after birth. At least when a living entity starts looking or starts using intelligence, I remember, I must confess something, I'm a drunk, I'm an alcoholic. And the first thing I learned to get rid of drinking was that I had to trust a higher intelligence. That's what Prabhupada says about faith. Faith, in fact, means unflinching trust in something sublime, something superior to me, a higher intelligence. Whatever. So when one really believes that it is possible to overcome suffering, one will not give up and not time and again following the same vicious circles because intelligence is there, at least within this human form of life. So he will or she will definitely develop faith. Faith in, even if I didn't find it yet, the way to get rid of suffering is there. That's the beginning of faith. And then one will ask questions, how will I get there? Believing in the goal is one point, looking for means is a second one, saying, how will I reach my goal? And then the Srimad Bhagavatam says, if you want to reach your goal, Forget it of finding it alone. You have to accept an intelligence which is higher than yours. You have to get into interaction, which you can very much and very nicely imagine. Like if I want to become an expert in whatever, I can find all available books in the library and study whatever, but that does not mean that I'm a recognized expert as such. If one wants to learn something, one will approach a higher intelligence, a person who has realized the knowledge that I want to achieve and that is able to give it to others to teach. So that is the role, in fact, of a spiritual master. If we really believe that there is a way to overcome suffering, and if we really believe that we are able to get there, we will gradually progress, progress, progress. That's the way how things work. If we have a question, as a matter of fact, the answer is already there. We only need to find it. And if there is a problem, after all, most of the time the solution exists. If we patiently are willing to find it. So, Krishna being the organizer of everything that happens on spiritual as well as material platform, gives the opportunity to overcome this if we dare to trust. And if we are willing to trust, so if we surrender to the idea that on our own we will not find it, if we accept that we have to ask somebody else to help us, then Krishna arranges by sending a bona fide spiritual master in the disciplic succession. So if we engage our mind in thinking of overcoming the solution, then we become a devotee because, Krishna says, if you want to overcome it, you will have to approach me. And my answer, no. Evichaham. Daiviesha guna mahima mai eva. Yes, please. At least if one wants to overcome the material modes of material nature, then one has to approach Krishna himself. That's the way how it works. Or at least accept that only by approaching Krishna we will be able to overcome it. Knowingly or unknowingly, if we trust in that process of asking a higher intelligence, Krishna will send a spiritual master. Because he fulfills the desires of the Supreme Lord. Krishna wants everyone to surrender to him. Krishna wants everybody to be happy. And as such, he also helps those who trust in approaching someone else, in approaching a superior intelligence. And then gradually, not only by remembering Krishna, but also by serving Krishna, the devotional attitude will develop. And that is the means to overcome the domination of the senses. That is to overcome the dominations of these rogues and thieves that in fact plunder spiritual knowledge. Anyway, the one who can teach is one who knows what Krishna wants him to do or her to do. So the way to know Krishna is finding out what Krishna wants us to do. And if you want to find that out, that is the parampara. Evam parampara praptam imam rajatsayo. That is the way by which knowledge manifests on the one hand. On the other hand, detachment is also there. So if we can give up material desires and speculative knowledge, if we can indeed please Krishna as Krishna and not partly, and that is what we can learn, then we not only achieve liberation from the domination of the senses, the rogues and thieves that plunder our real knowledge, but then we also can come to devotional service. And if we succeed in pleasing the Lord as the Lord likes to be pleased, rather than as we like to please the Lord, then finally we will reach Krishna's eternal abode, which has nothing to do with matter at all, and which as such has nothing to do with the senses at all. So a pure devotee is only interested in satisfying Krishna. And if one lives only for the satisfaction of Krishna, it does not matter whether one belongs to this order of life or that order of life. Pleasing Krishna becomes the most important goal. And this can also be achieved by pleasing the representative of Krishna. And that's what we can learn very easily. I mean, pleasing Krishna might be very far out, very understandable how to please Krishna, by pleasing the one who pleases Krishna. And that's the devotee of Krishna who can teach us. So, in the end, I have two nice prayers. I remember in the beginning, when I came to Radhadesh as Bhakta Neophyte, one day I was impressed by the performance of the Lord, which he shows us daily, which we can perceive even by our senses, to purify our senses. And suddenly, as happens often, the curtains closed. It was time for boga offering or predestined the deities. I can't remember what time it was. But two visitors entered. And they said, "Oh, the curtains are closed. We missed it." And I, my Bhakta neophyte stage, said, no, we didn't miss anything. Come. And I took them to the front of the temple room. I lifted the curtain. I said, "Look, there they are." which was a little bit too enthusiastic, as a matter of fact, because Madalala Samai was there. She looked at me and she said, "You will never do that again." And I indeed never did that again, that's for sure. So it wasn't really accustomed to do so. Anyway, later I got the opportunity to get at the other side of the curtain, to dress deities, sometimes, not often. But before dressing the deities, there is some prayer, a prayer to purify the senses. And I was talking about purifying the senses, or at least trying to do so. It might be relevant to end with reading these prayers, because they are summarizing the whole idea. One prayer is, "I am by nature the eternal servant of Krishna. But because of my bad fortune, I have been inimical toward him from time immemorial. And thus, I've identified myself with my body and continuously wandered in the cycle of birth and death in a material world, suffering the burning threefold miseries. Now, as a result of some unimaginable good fortune, my spiritual master's mercy has enabled me to know that I am Krishna's eternal servant. An infinitesimal spiritual being, completely apart from the gross and subtle body. And so, by the order of my spiritual master, I have obtained the good fortune of serving his lotus feet and following in his footsteps the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda." Jai Nimai, Jai Nitai. And their message is simple. If you accept them as authority, and if you approach them as being superior intelligence to get out of the clutches of material nature, they gave us a very simple formula. It is only chanting the Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare, mantra, which pleases the Lord, and as such, the Lord's devotees. Now, a second prayer, really to round it up, which also is prayed before dressing the deities, in order to purify the senses. It is officially called purifying the bodily elements by identifying oneself as an eternal servant of Lord Krishna. In Sanskrit, it sounds like Buddha, Sudhi. "I am not a Brahmana, I am not a Kshatriya, I am not a Vaishya or a Sudra, nor am I a Brahmachari, a householder, a Vanaprastha, a Sannyas. I identify myself only as a servant of the servant of the servant of the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna, the maintainer of the gopis. He is like an ocean of nectar, and he is the cause of universal transcendental bliss. He is always existing with brilliance." Point. If you have any remarks or questions, please don't keep them. Ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate prakriti kriyamanani I might miss one sentence, but that verse says that it is illusion to think that we are the doer, because activities in fact are performed by the three modes of material nature. Bhagavad Gita. The whole idea, the consciousness is like the audience observing the activities of Prakriti. And it is even said that once one stops being interested in the activities of Prakriti, she doesn't feel like motivated to continue attracting you. Which is in fact a very important part in the process of getting detached. So as long as by our senses we are attracted by the performances, the activities of Prakriti, she will remain attracting us and try everything she's able to do to attract our attention. Which means the buddhi, the intelligence, and the ahankara, the false ego, sarira linga, they feel being enlightened by the force of the consciousness, they are very powerful, like a spark of fire is very hot, they still have the idea, and then the ahankara thinks, I am the doer of all these activities, which are in fact performed by material nature and not by the consciousness. And that simple fact of thinking, ahankara vibhudatma, I'm the one who acts, is called illusion. So the active factor is material nature. And the life-giving factor, the difference between pradana, the latent matter, that is in equilibrium when the three modes are in equilibrium, which is just there. And once the Lord glances it over, once the spiritual sparks get into matter, then it becomes alive. But then matter is activated, not the sparks. The sparks being blinded by the activities of matter, identify with matter, thus thinking that they are self the doer. And that is exactly illusion. And that is exactly by means of detachment we can get rid of. And that is what we should get rid of in order to understand we are a servant of Krishna, which indicates some kind of activity, which indicates dynamics. How can a servant be passive and do nothing? But this activity mainly rests in the desire to serve Krishna. And desire is the impetus, the driving force. But activities within material world are performed by the three modes of material nature and not by the spiritual soul. Is there something clear there? I think you should could find the purport of it. That's the essence of what I want to say now. Which number of the verse, Maharaj? Prakriti Kiyamana. You know the verse? Jai Sri Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki.